Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in John chapter 17, where Jesus pours his heart out in prayer to his Father. Before we read from John 17, it's helpful to remind ourselves of the final thing Jesus said in chapter 16 to his disciples. After telling them he was going to be leaving them, he told them, "You're going to have trouble in this world, but take heart. I've overcome the world." There was a sadness in his voice when he said it, but also something victorious when he said he had overcome the world. He was about to conquer the world, not through ultimate power, but through ultimate surrender. Jesus' overcoming the world looks a bit different than we think it does. Back to John 17, verse 1, where Jesus surrenders to his Father's will in prayer. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." My friends, let's pause here and take off our shoes for a second. Like Moses in front of the burning bush, face to face with a holy God. Because listening in like a fly on the wall to Jesus' prayer to his Father, on the eve of his death is a holy moment, something we're not completely capable of taking in. Jesus starts off, "Father, the hour has come." Nothing new there. He's been stating this all night, all week in fact. Something is about to go down. "Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." Now this is new. It's out of character for Jesus to ask to be glorified. He's up to this point always been consumed with glorifying his Father. What sudden change has happened now that the hour has come? Jesus explains in verse 2, "For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Jesus says he was given authority to give eternal life to all people. And then he defines what eternal life is: to know God as the only true God and to know Jesus. Now that Jesus has made it possible for people to know the Father, it was time for him to go back to his Father. Verse 5, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." The glory I had with you. So Jesus had this glory before the creation of the world, when he radiated God's full brilliance before the world was even created. When Jesus goes back up to heaven now, he'll wrap himself up in that glory like a warm blanket. But then Jesus shifts gears in verses 6 through 12, and he prays for his disciples again. He's thinking more about them than he's thinking about himself. First, he prays that they would now glorify God like Jesus did. But living like Jesus lived can put you in danger like Jesus faced. So in verse 11, he prays for their protection. "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they might be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them, and I kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost, except the one doomed to destruction, so scripture would be fulfilled." Skip ahead to verse 15. "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." Jesus said, they're still in the world, and that's a dangerous place, requiring special protection. And Jesus said, "While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me." So now as Jesus is leaving, he's sending them to continue his own mission of showing people how to have eternal life, showing them how to know God. But what did Jesus mean by keeping the disciples safe by the name you gave me? Jesus' name, pronounced Yeshua in Hebrew, meant Yahweh saves. And Jesus would live up to that name. He would save. But he also keeps us safe And the way he would do that was by revealing himself through his word. Verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify. We don't use that word today, but it has a ton of history in the Bible. It means to be set apart for a mission. And it's where we get our word holy from. Jesus means it both ways here. They were being set apart for a holy mission. And Jesus continues in verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. There it is. That's the holy mission they were set apart for. And Jesus continues the theme of being set apart in verse 19. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Jesus abstained from sin because his holy mission from God was to earn the righteousness of God for us that we couldn't earn for ourselves. By living holy himself, he made us holy. But Jesus switches gears in his prayers one last time in verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Well, you can read that on your own, but that's powerful. That's me and you. Insert your picture here and read on to see what Jesus is praying for you. But let's focus on verse 23, one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. Praying for us, Jesus says, then the world will know you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Did you hear that? You have loved them even as you have loved me. The Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Holy cow. Jesus has been praying for unity, and that can only come from God's love for us spread out to one another. Jesus is saying, the world will know you sent me if they have love like that, because they'll know that you loved them. My friends, the only thing that will conquer and overcome this world is the love that Jesus showed by surrendering rather than dominating. That's the same for us on our mission. How do you fit the eternal love that God the Father has for the Son into your heart? Talk about trying to fit an ocean in a teacup. It just has to spill out. And as it does, Jesus says they will know you're my disciple by that love that spills out. I think we could spend an eternity to wrap our minds around that one. And luckily for us, we'll have it. Jesus gave us eternal life. And we'll need an eternity to fathom the depths of the love that the Father has given to us. Unfortunately, we don't have an eternity today. So my friends, we'll stop there for now. Thanks for joining me today, and I'll see you next time on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.